So I was a long-term sub at U High for the beginning of the year up until Thanksgiving break, actually just recently. And sometimes I would walk in to class and one of the students would be standing up at the podium and I would just go sit at my desk because I guess they're teaching that day. And I would assume that some of you may be feeling that the student has decided he's going to get up and teach class today. But I appreciate the opportunity to lead class and to learn from what all of you have put together. I recognize I almost certainly have too much material to get through in 45 minutes, and I'm only teaching one class, but I figured it would be better to have more than to have not enough. So that's what we're working with. I don't particularly like to teach in the way that I stand up here and talk and you guys sit there and listen. So once we get into the questions, please talk as much as you would like to. I want to start by just reading Mark chapter 4 verses 1 to 20, which is the account that I was working out of for the questions here. And then after that, I just want to go through, and if you noticed, I broke up the, it's hard not to notice, I broke up the parable into some separate chunks, and I wanted you to stop and think about the each type of soil in the physical sense. Jesus was teaching them a lesson in a way that was very familiar to them, and so I think by better understanding what the physical aspects of the metaphor or the, I guess it's an allegory, of that is, I think then we can better understand the allegorical aspects of it. So I will read Mark chapter 4 verses 1 to 20 and then we'll get into the questions. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." So I'll start then by rereading those first four verses, and we'll just take it chunk by chunk. My questions are hopefully open-ended enough that you could take it your own direction. I don't want to funnel you into thinking one specific way or thinking the way that I was thinking about it. Ideally, these questions are open-ended enough that you all had your own ideas about it, and we'll hear 60 different ones, and we all have a bunch of different things to think about when we go home. But I'll read these first four verses, and we'll get into the questions. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up." So our first question, why does the farmer use this scattering method to sow the seed, and what significance might that have had to the listeners? And just, again, thinking historically or contextually here, if you did a little research, what might you have found? Ben? Yeah, absolutely. So in this region, there were often rocks that would move up underneath the surface. And so farming with a plow was not very profitable because it would just ruin the plow. And so they used this broadcasting method. The seed was relatively cheap, and so they threw it everywhere. And there was enough seed scattered and enough good soil that it would produce a sufficient crop. Also, I realize that all of these questions are, like, really two-part questions. I apologize for that. I'm the teacher that's like, well, there's only 9 questions, but it's like 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, 1E, 1F, 2A, 2. So I'm sorry for that as well, but that's how it makes sense to me. And again, this second part question, what is the first type of soil, and why does it not produce a crop? Why does it fail to produce... And these are like beach balls. These are easy ones. Levi.
Well, I think some people would say they didn't sow a seed because the birds came and ate them up, but in reality, it being on a path is probably just so compacted and trampled all the time, it's not going to get into the soil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Does anyone have anything to add to that? This soil is sown along the path, it's eaten by birds before it has any chance to grow. Like Levi said, absolutely, it may have been the soil is too hard. People have been walking on it, carts and donkeys and feet and all of those things. Yeah. Verse 5. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. So what is the second type of soil, and why does it not produce a crop?
So it's rocky soil, and there's not enough soil, so it can't withstand the heat, can't withstand the lack of moisture, so it can't grow enough.
Yeah, the soil is too shallow to support those deep roots, and the plant can't withstand the heat, the adverse weather. Absolutely. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. What's the third type of soil, and why does it not produce a crop?
The thorns are there, so it doesn't get any sun. The other nutrients are taken from it before it can start growing.
Yeah, so there's competing growth here. The seed is choked out by those weeds and those thorns and those other plants. That competing growth kills anything that the seed might have done for itself. Sure. Verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. So what is the fourth type of soil, and what makes it, I kind of gave it away, but what makes it the way that it is?
It's the good soil. It's good because it produces fruit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the soil, as the description goes, it's good. And it's good because it produces fruit. Yeah, Chase. I have zero practical farming expertise, but yeah, absolutely. I would have to trust in that principle that the more you scatter, the higher your chances statistically that you're going to get something to grow, and depending on the amount of growth that you get, certainly. So again, I just wanted to that probably seemed very elementary. I'm asking you what kind of soil, the verse is telling you what kind of soil it is. But I think that in walking through that and establishing very firmly these are the physical aspects that Jesus is bringing out, the metaphorical or allegorical, whatever you want to call it, aspects become more obvious to us. So I'll just move into discussion question number one then. Where else is this parable recorded? And this is a two-parter, so I'm going to stop there. Where else is this parable recorded? Mm-hmm. So we'll start with Matthew 13. Are there any significant differences or insignificant, I guess? What did you notice in reading that account? Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. Do you have something to add to that? In my class, people raise their hands first. So, those are 14-year-olds, though. So, anyone else have anything to add there? Talking about Matthew. Kurt, this time for real.
So two things. First one is Elizabeth. Was that Elizabeth talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth said about
Absolutely. I appreciate those thoughts. And so, yeah, the function of parables is not necessarily to be these easy to digest bits of just, you know, metaphors that have one-to-one meanings that are super obvious to us, but to force us to think and to force us to work through what Jesus is trying to tell us. Right? Something that stuck out to me in Matthew as well is that he, in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 13, he comments on the privilege of the disciples for getting to see the word fulfilled in him. And so that was just something additional beyond what Mark records there. And then so let's talk about Luke chapter 8. Was there anything that you saw differing in those accounts or anything that you noticed there? I always tell my students, I promise I can wait longer than you, but I don't know.
Should be your Roth form.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's significant, but Luke uses words like believe and save, where Matthew and Mark use words more like heard, receive the word, those kinds of things. In parallel situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I always like to dig into word choice. I always think that's, to me, that's significant. I also noticed that Jesus specifies the kind of hearts that hear, retain, produce with the word as noble and good. So just that additional descriptor there, that beyond good, that they are noble as well. I was working out of the NIV, so if that's not your version, maybe that's not recorded for you, but. Any other additional thoughts there? Yeah, just expanding on that. And he also expanded on the seed that is choked by the thorns in saying that that is a heart that does not mature. And so I thought that was interesting as well. And again, just something to take note of. I need to move faster. Question 2. The seed eaten by birds. What type of person or listener, what type of heart does Jesus say that this represents? And what does this type of heart fail to do with the word? Now, that second part of the question may seem a little vague, I guess. Again, this is one that, take it as you will. I'll tell you what I was thinking when I wrote it, and then we'll figure it out from there. But thoughts on question 2. Levi?
I think it represents something that's considered to a lot of things going on around you. If you've had a bad day, you know, you might have tough circumstance in life, and then you come apart into any sort of hope that they may be able to receive. So when it says, well, I guess this is getting into question 3, but it says Satan comes and takes the word from them, because that's what they're accustomed to. They're accustomed to that sort of hardness to the things around them, and they don't receive
it. Yeah, absolutely. And to tie that back to, like, you're talking about the path, right, and that it's been walked over and over again, and hardened in that sense, right? Physical and metaphorical, Chase. Yeah, so some similarities to that third type of soil where these birds are you know, maybe representative of some other worries and cares. Ben, was that? Yeah.
I think about these people as having a hard time recognizing the truth when it's presented to them. So I was bouncing between, I don't know which one of them says, hears but does not understand. And so they've heard it, but they can't recognize this as the truth.
Yeah, and so I ask a question later, ask you to find an example of a character in the Bible that is an example of each of these types of hearts. And my example for this one, I'll spoil it for you, was Pharaoh. And his heart was repeatedly hardened by God, but still the truth of God and God's power and the way that he was working was presented to Pharaoh over and over and over. And repeatedly he failed to accept that word. And so I think that this is the type of heart that is ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. There's not that additional effort like Levi was talking about. These hearts have been hardened, and they do not receive that word. Right. And so I wrote down for, again, the second part of this question may have been a bit confusing, but I think this kind of heart fails to understand the word, fails to hear. Yeah, absolutely. To kind of follow that with question three, in the capacity that Satan, what capacity does he have to come and take away the word that was sown to them? Satan is the ultimate deceiver. Right? We see him sowing seeds of deception and lies throughout the Bible. And so when we buy into those lies, when we fail to when we're hardened against the truth of God's word and the power that has, I think we get this type of situation that Satan now has much more power, but not of his own. We've given it to him, right? That we've hardened ourselves, and he now has the opportunity to come steal that from us. One note that I made just along those lines was that in this relationship between the sower and the soil, the one that does all of the work here is the sower. The sower has sown the seed. The sower's done their job. But just like you're saying, there is no effort. There is no resistance. There is the soil. And I think that's a step you kind of have to take with this parable and that moving beyond it. We know that dirt doesn't necessarily have, like, it doesn't, like, just pull the seed down underneath to protect itself, protect the seed from birds. But in reality, we understand the soil being people's hearts. People have that ability to take it in and to resist the devil's lies. Sure. Anything else to add there before we move on? Okay, we're going to move on. Question four, I think we kind of incorporated question three in there. Question four, the seed that does not take root. What type of heart does Jesus say this represents, and what does this type of heart, person, listener, What do they fail to do with the word? Kind of contrary to what Chase was saying before, and that the things that we like and care about, we do something to protect, and these people fail to do that. Sure. And to have the appearance of caring about it, right? And just like we see, there is this appearance of growth early, that the root, the seed springs up, and you know, probably looks green, probably looks good, but then fails to move beyond that. Sure. Absolutely. The difficulties, and again, some crossover there between the birds and the weather and the thorns and the weeds, right? There are things preventing us from getting some additional.
And the idea of not taking, not having a deep root,
mm-hmm.
there's too much in the way to allow these roots to sink into God's Word to really establish when difficulties come, then you don't have anything to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy then to give it up.
Yeah. So in coaching, if you've ever coached or been around coaches, you may have heard this phrase that in sports, in life, and in whatever, you control two things. You control your attitude and you control your effort. Right? And so it seems to me that these people have controlled their attitude, right? They have chosen to accept the word, and it's good news, and have shown zeal and excitement in responding to that word. But in turn, they've missed on that second variable in controlling their effort, because I don't necessarily think that roots take time to put down. I don't think necessarily that Jesus is saying, well, this person just hasn't spent years and years in a church community to put down roots and to become a strong Christian in that community. I would lean more towards that he is saying that this person has not spent enough time in God's Word, in studying, in growing themselves spiritually. And certainly there is an aspect of time that comes along with that. But in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, God does not test us beyond what we're able. And so putting that time into God's Word and negates in some way the time, those long, long years. Go ahead.
But they just not put any real effort into it, and so when hardships come, well, they just throw up their hands.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think Luke speaks exactly what you were saying, and that he was following up on in chapter 8, verse 6. It says, "And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture." So the moisture, well, think about water in your faith. It's being watered in. So if you lack moisture, you lack being.
And so what I had written down for my second part of this question was that this is a heart that fails to absorb the word, that fails to really take it in beyond, well, I've heard the good news, someone told me that I'm saved, that's great, but to really absorb that and to put roots down, that is what this heart has failed to do with the word. Actually, I had a grip under my next one, so maybe he's all three.
Maybe, yeah.
Who knows?
There's not enough specifics.
Yeah. But just to your point that there are many, many variables. We're talking about weather here. We're talking about heat withering this root, but there are many different forms that heat can take in withering this root.
Sure.
Anyone else have anything additional there? Before we move to the next kind of seed/soil. All right, I'm going to move on. Number 5, the seed that is choked out by other plants. What type of person or listener does this soil represent? What type of heart, what does this type of heart fail to do with the word? Absolutely, and again, I think that's a step that we have to take with the parable, is that in applying it to ourselves, we have to understand that there is in the soil, if that's us, right, if that is people accepting or not accepting the word, that there is an element of agency there that maybe we don't necessarily automatically think of when it comes to soil, but we choose, right? It's not... I had a question about predetermination on here that I don't think we're going to have time for, but I'm firmly on the side that this is not what that's suggesting.
I think the negative aspect of the three is the distinction of the first. So the first one gets devoured before it grows. The second one grows but then dies. And the third one, though, grows, it just doesn't bear fruit. And so I know
appreciate the self-application there. And as I was reading this and as I was writing the lesson, as I'm hearing you say that as well, I could not help but think about Ethan, and to think of growing up with him, the same age, went to the same church, did all the same things, and to watch the failure to act, to do what is asked of us in God's word, and to produce that fruit, and so absolutely a warning to me, and to all of us, that there is, if we choose to let those weeds and those thorns and that other competing growth go, that there is danger there. And so I wrote it down here, and I would like to do it. I would like just to take a moment, and I'll watch the time. What are the thorns and the weeds that that threaten to choke out your faith? Because I know what mine are, and I probably don't spend enough time thinking about them and identifying them and what I'm going to do about them. But I'd like to take a moment and do that, if you would, with me. No, I should have specified that. I wanted to just take a moment there. I'm sorry. I don't expect you to share those things. But I think there is value in taking time to specifically think about what we might have allowed to go too far, to grow in us that we shouldn't, and to identify what we need to weed out of our hearts. So with our last few minutes here, I think I was told I have till about 50. Is that right? Is he knocking right now? Oh, wonderful. So I'm done then. Thanks. I think... My bad. I do want to say, just as a finishing thought, question 9, the ultimate message of this parable. There are many... I think what I took out of it, we can never stop sowing. If we're the sowers, it's our responsibility to do that. That's what we control. The sower scatters the seed and scatters it everywhere, and that's our job. So thank you for your attention and for your participation. I appreciate that. I apologize. I went over time.